All right.
Hey, welcome everyone to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Rambo Series podcast. I am your host, Ryan, with me today. As always, for now and for the future, my co-host, Dominic,
What's
Domi
go
T.
Dommy T? What's going on, Ryan? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited to start this journey of
Me
the fourth Rambo film.
too.
We've been talking about it. We've been hinting at it. We knew it was coming since it's the fourth season and it's the fourth film in the franchise. I love your background there. You've got
Thank you.
HGH Rambo behind you.
I had to have him lurking in the shadows, just staring at us.
He's scary, man. He's kind
No,
of
it's very
scary.
scary with the hair, his hair in this movie. We'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Oh, well, yeah, this is going to be a great discussion, a great journey into the fourth Rambo film. Now, for the record, people are seeing the title of the episode. The title of the episode is John Rambo.
Right.
And people are like, well, Ryan, you can't call it John Rambo. It's called Rambo. And they're absolutely right. However, we are going to be reviewing or commenting on the extended cut version, not the theatrical cut that we saw in North America. We are going to be commenting on the extended cut version of Rambo, and it is actually called John Rambo. So we
Yes, it
are, it's the
is.
fourth Rambo film, and we're going to be talking about John Rambo. Okay. So we'd like to welcome everyone that's joined us live. Again, if you want to see us live, whenever we go live on our show, join my socials. I plug all the socials where you can find me, Twitter, Facebook, Discord. On those socials, I will then post when we go live and the link so you can join us live. What does that mean for you? That means you can comment and chat, and then we'll speak to your live chat during that recording. If you miss it, doesn't matter because this episode will go on YouTube and will go on, of course, your audio, whatever, as per. I think the majority of our listeners actually do listen to the podcast. We have a good chunk of people that watch the show on YouTube. I think you get a better bang for your buck to some degree because you're watching the film with us and
Right,
you get to
right.
see, you get to see what we're. But if you're a Rambo fan, you already know all the scenes, then you can see it in your head. I do it the same with the Rocky podcast. A lot of people just listen to the audio version because they know the movie so well. They see the scenes in their head
It's
regardless.
burnt into their minds.
Absolutely. Obviously, we're going to do some discussions here before we just crack open the film. We got a lot of correspondence. Some things I'm a little bit behind on, so I do apologize to those people. We got a correspondence here from Louis Bravo. He goes, "Hello, guys. My name is Louis Bravo, and I was wondering if you'd be doing a show on the Rambo cartoon on your podcast."
Ah,
And yeah.
yes.
And he goes, "If you have, my apologies." So I guess Lewis hasn't heard every episode because he would know that we haven't yet, which is fine. He might be a new listener. So thanks for joining us, Lewis. He says, "Great show." Thanks, Lewis. So what's your thoughts on the Rambo cartoon? Have you ever seen an episode?
I actually have never watched it. I knew it existed and I've seen clips of it and stuff. It was a little bit before my time. What year was that?
What year were you born again,
I was
Mr.
born
Rambo?
in 88.
Yeah, I think the cartoon was out around
Yeah.
then. I think it was after
Right,
the
right.
third Rambo film. It's called like Freedom Force or something. It was basically Rambo was hired by Troutman, and they had like, and it's just funny because in the cartoon, they to Rambo or the creators of the Rambo cartoons credit, they did a lot of diverse characters, but
Okay.
the names of the characters were kind of like,
racist.
well, yeah,
Little
like
on the nose.
the Native American character was called like Big Chief or something. Like it's just like, yeah, I forget the exact names, but anyways, yeah, a
Perfect.
little bit on the nose, but. To the creators' credit, they had a diverse cast of characters that Black, Native
Right.
American, Asian, they had the whole gamut, and of course, geriatric with Troutman and what have you.
I love that time period when they'd make cartoons based off something like Rambo and turn it into a kid's show. It's amazing.
It's insane that they did because there's no killing in these cartoons. It was basically Rambo and his group of friends, kind of like what we're going to see with the fourth Rambo film, John Rambo. They were helping this island or something not be taken over by some terrorist groups. It's interesting.
Oh,
So
okay.
they were kind of like the G.I. Joe, and this
So maybe,
terrorist group was the Cobra group.
yeah, maybe Stallone took influence from the Rambo cartoon on Rambo 4 on
Yeah, can
John
you
Rambo.
imagine? I think what we should do, either we should like review the first episode, maybe the premiere episode, or maybe the last one, one of the two, or both. To see how the show began or how the show ended. We'll
Yeah, I'm
see.
curious to watch some of that actually.
It's going to be horrible. I saw it as a kid. Like I was when it came out, I was 12, 13. I was already kind of done with cartoons, but of course I wasn't done with the Rambo. I mean, Rambo was so even I knew as a young teenager, if not, 11, 12 year old, whatever it was, I was done with cartoons, but I was Rambo. I should have known Sly wouldn't voice the character. So it's just weird
I
to hear
wish.
On our last episode, we got a great comment here. This was, of course, the final episode of Rambo 3, episode 8. We got a comment here from Jumble Sailboo. I don't know if that means anything to you.
Okay. No.
Talk about the boots. Remember we talked about the boots that Sly wore to climb the mountain?
Oh, right. We also talked about the lifts in his boots.
Yeah, the lifts, exactly. So he says, yeah, the boots were made by the late Pasquale Di Fabrizio. Okay. Ooh. This guy, Jumble, he says that he has a pair of the boots. Yeah, he says, six were made as the props inventory for the movie had six of everything supplied for the movie. Now, how this guy knows this? Yeah, but cool. Sure. It's pretty specific information that maybe it's just true. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Jumble, if you're watching the show, let us know how you knew this. I'm kind of curious. Mm-hmm. How did you know about six of everything? Okay, so there's six
pairs of boots. Sounds
true. It sounds true. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, he said the boots are very light. Pasquale claimed in an interview before he passed away that it is alleged that he was not paid for the boots.
Has the person ever worn them to climb a mountain is the question.
That's a great question. Maybe Pasquale wore them. That's how he died. Maybe he wore them on a mountain climb. Jumble said that I think due to the Adidas logo on them, Adidas partly sponsored them.
Oh, that makes sense.
But he goes on to say, I might be reading too much into it, but the scene with the glow stick was a point of irony. As previously in the movie, they were talking about the booby-trapped dolls and toys that the Russians left laying around, hoping that the Afghan freedom fighters would pick them up for the children. So there you go. So they were tricked by the blue light.
And then they see this.
So there you go. Good pickup, eh? We didn't pick that up. A better podcaster would have picked that stuff up. Thank you. And he goes on to say that Randy Rainey, who played the big Russian Kurov, was also Mad Dog Madison and Over the Top.
Oh, wow.
The Tiger Claw move was also used to Deputy Sergeant Art Gault in First Blood. Yeah. Remember when he grabbed Gault's face in the breakout scene? he goes on to say here, I love how the F1 grenade had a piece of wood holding the pin to the grenade, which in real life wouldn't be so. That was Harold Diamond standing in for Sly doing the roundhouse kick. Remember we caught the stunt double on the horse?
Yes.
So I guess Harold Diamond, but it wasn't Sly. He says here, if you look hard enough, you see the body isn't ripped like Sly was, and he hides his face on that scene. We didn't catch that. We did catch the horse one. We did catch the horse.
Yes, we did. We did. That was a good one.
And he agrees that them jumping down the rope and not just falling to their death, jumping down that rope into the cave. So he goes, so funny regarding the rock and the rope, the sheer weight of the momentum of the body drop. There's no way the rock would have only just moved slightly. He goes on to say that most of the movie was shot in Israel, but the final scene was shot in Arizona. But he says at the end here, great podcast, by the way. So after all that information, you want to let us know that we have a great podcast. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Carlo O said, after all these years, I never realized how incompetent Troutman was. We are able to expose that.
It's all
that
coming together now.
Dan from the Retrospectors podcast, he says, yeah, I agree. It would have helped if they took out all the jokes. It was a bit much. Maybe just keep the light turns blue joke in there, since at least Rambo wasn't even trying to make a joke. It's just funny because of the deadpan delivery.
Right, right.
Good point, because he just goes, turns blue. We talked about this. If Sly goes back in time and actually makes a cut, that's a little bit more serious.
It's possible. Maybe after the Rockies.
So that's our YouTube comments, our email. And we did get a Facebook on our Facebook group when the episode got posted. I think it's worth discussing. This is from Carl. He said that there's a deleted alternate ending where he gets out of the Jeep and stays with the Afghans.
Really?
That's what Carl said. I think it's the same Carl O on our YouTube page. Yeah, Carl said that on our Facebook page. What do you think of that ending?
That would have been interesting. It wouldn't have really affected when they did Rambo 4 eventually, because they could have just put him in Burma.
Sure, he helps the Afghanis to a certain point and then just goes to Thailand anyways. Yeah, okay.
Right, right.
Well, I wonder if that was filmed. Speaking of which, alternate films and lost scenes. Well, we'll talk about this. Remind me to talk to you about Colonel Troutman, okay? When we start talking about
I definitely will.
Chris Grant, one of our most faithful listeners, he said he enjoyed our episode. He remembers standing in the huge lobby when he saw Rambo 3, and there was a big poster of Rambo, and opposite of that was the Running Man poster.
Nice.
So he said it just brings back good memories. So we just want to thank everyone who joins us, of course, after the shows go live and after they go on our podcast and YouTube with their comments. And Dom and I do appreciate that. All right. So that's a bit of the kitchen. What do you call it? Kitchen items. What do you call that? House cleaning. What do they call it?
Kitchen clean.
No, what do they call it? How do they call it in the show? What do they call it in the show? All right, you ready?
Well done.
Well done. That's good. Thank you. All right. So you ready to start talking about John Rambo? So again,
yes. Join us.
We're going to be reacting. I guess reacting. I don't think I've ever seen the John Rambo cut of you.
I haven't. It's funny because when you brought it up with me, I recently got upgraded the film on 4K, and it was the first copy I had that included that extended cut. So I was actually excited to watch this version.
Okay. I think this is my first time seeing John Rambo, and I will say how many times have you seen the fourth Rambo film?
It's got to be at least six times.
Yeah, I'm the same, and I think it's partly, you know, and I'm the same with even the Rocky and Creed films. The later the films, like Rocky Balboa, the sixth Rocky film, and then the Creed films, I've seen less and less, not because I don't like them. It's just, one, because they came out later, right?
So right.
And I don't have the time to do the rewatch like I did when I was a teenager.
Right, that was the best.
Yeah, no internet. I had no internet. Right. That was our internet, was just to watch movies over and over again and analyze and... So I watched the first three Rambo films multiple times, but I think the fourth Rambo film, John Rambo, I've maybe seen it no more than five times.
Right. It seems about right.
Can you believe it's already been 15 years since it came out?
Crazy. So even Rocky Balboa is like 16, 17 years
old. Yeah, Rocky Balboa came out in 2006, so that's 17 years old. Oh, crazy. What the heck, man? Like the fourth Rambo film, I remember seeing it. I was actually, I'm in the Navy, and I was in a port. Mm-hmm. I think it was like an American port that I was in. Okay. I saw it with a shipmate, and we saw the film together. And
reactions to it?
Yeah, my first reaction to the film was too short. Now, I did notice this John Rambo cut is just over like an hour and 35 minutes. So there's extra footage on it. I think the original Rambo 4 cut was like 80 minutes.
Right. It's a little shorter, the theatrical, right? The
theatrical cut was like almost 15 minutes shorter than this John Rambo cut. So the reason why I asked is how many times you watch it. I'll admit there will be scenes where I'm not going to be sure if that's a scene that I haven't seen before or if I just forgot.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. Even the opening, I was wondering if there was anything different about the opening.
Maybe during our... watching the John Rambo, if something jumps out to you, we're like, I'm pretty certain I haven't seen that. I suspect it'll be maybe fleshed out dialogue or some fleshed out stories. My initial feeling of the first film was, and I've said it 100 times, but now that we're actually here on the film, I will say the ending is, spoiler alert. Can you imagine somebody listening to this who's never watched the movie? Imagine, so... except for the part, of course, when he's walking the driveway home. Yeah, that's a great little like send-off. It's probably a very good ending to the Rambo. It should have been the ending of Rambo Last Blood, but when he made the fourth Rambo film, I don't think he knew it would be the last one. I'm not sure. However, I will say that's what brings him to America, so it does tie into Rambo Last Blood. But the point is, him walking to his home, pretty cool. That's it. That's a solid end. That last 2 minutes, that's fine. I'm talking about the sequence from after the high-octane 50 cal sequence to that ending is not very good. The weakest part of the film is that part. It whimpers. It whimpers. Mm-hmm. We just saw Rambo 3, of course. We did a complete rewatch. I think we did a great job doing Rambo 3, by the way.
Yes, sir.
But what I loved about Rambo 3 is that last action, it was just went action right to the ending.
Explosives, yeah.
You know, and even all the Rambo films kind of had that. The first Rambo film, First Blood, had that, you know, the showdown in the town. Of course, against the legs. You know, I went over to get some beers. I came back. I want to draw the car.
I can't find my leg.
Man, that's the best ending. I love it. Anyways, okay. That's my initial response. Now, I've seen the movie, of course, a few times since then over the years. I think I'm less, because the shock is gone, I'm less affected by that. Interested to see what this John Rambo cut is like. So anyone that's listening to the show, send us an email. Let us know your thoughts if you want, without spoiling any details or scenes that you liked that were added. But let us know if the John Rambo cut helped you like the film more. I'm thinking it will. That's my guess. That's my prediction.
I think so. When I went to go see this movie, it was the first Rambo film I saw in theaters. I was more excited when I was watching it. I went with my father. I went with my brother. And then over the years, as I watched it again, there's something about it that is a little goofy to me from time to time. I don't know if it's the way Stallone looks in the film. I've commented on this in the past. Well, I don't know.
This is HGH Stallone. This is when his Yo. Face got big. His hair got big. His lips got big.
I remember. I think it was while they were filming this movie. Is this when he got caught with like steroids?
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around this time. Right. It was right, HGH. Right. People that I would say insult, but the people that kind of throw shade at mm-hmm. Sly for using HGH. Mm-hmm. It's usually people that are schlubs. You know, they're like slobbering from their mouth and eating bonbons mm-hmm. and chips in their chair. Like, okay, you don't just take HGH and just like...
Right, you don't sit on the couch and shoot it up in your head or anything like that.
So I'm not defending steroid use in the sense I'm not defending mm-hmm. it. I'm just saying it doesn't do anything to your body unless you exercise. My understanding is it just fast forwards the process and gives you shapes and sizes that you wouldn't naturally get. Is that not how it works? Or
I suppose, yeah. I don't have bulging veins in my head. So
no, I don't work. Despite what I look like, I know I don't work out.
This is all natural. This is all natural. I will say this, though. When you saw Rambo, because I'll admit it, when I saw Rambo 4, the traditional Rambo fan of me wanted the shirt to come off. Did you have that feeling, too, that the shirt never came off?
apparently, it was on because of the tattoo work or something like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Isn't it weird that Sly did this late tattoo? Isn't that weird to you? Like, but
did he have them in real life in Rocky Balboa?
No.
So he did it right after Rocky Balboa?
Yes. I think it was that late. I think it was after Balboa was filmed. I don't think his body was covered up with makeup in Balboa. Well, I'm 90% sure.
I did read that he did it because the way his like veins looked or something. He admitted that.
Yes.
He didn't like... Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's
funny. The first time I noticed the tattoos was Expendable, mm-hmm. the first film. When he's okay, getting them worked on by Mickey Rourke's character, even as a huge Sly fan, I didn't know he had tattoos. Up until that was 2010, so would have been after Rambo 4.
And but he got them quick.
Yeah, he covered himself up in those 2 years. Uh-huh. So I think he was working on the tattoos during the filming. And right. I don't know how, I want to say comfortable is the right word, because he did go shirtless and bolt to the head.
Yes, he did.
That may actually be a good trivia. When was the last time Sly went full shirtless? Was it bolt to the head?
It might be.
Yeah.
He did that Grudge Match movie with De Niro.
But was that before Bolt the Head? No.
I feel like it was after.
Dave, you're still in the chat. Let us know which one came out first. So I think Bolt the Head was his last film to go shirtless. I have noticed. I would never call Sly overweight. But have you noticed he's got that bit of a paunch in the front now?
Right.
Is it just that old man kind of, you know how that old man gut where you get that kind of extended tummy? It's not fat, but you get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm gonna see Sly kicking your door now and put you in a headlock.
Yeah. Well, no. Look, the guy can still kick my ass. I'm not fighting the guy with those big meat hands.
What'd you say about my meat hands?
So, anyways, I think that's why he wore the shirt. I would suspect his body was just fine, and you could almost argue even Rambo knew. Like, come on, like you really shouldn't take off the shirt.
What would Troutman do? Troutman would leave the shirt on.
So Bolt of the Head was 2012. So when was Grudge Match? Oh, Grudge Match was 2013. There you go.
Oh, thanks, David. It was that close. I didn't realize they were that close together. Okay.
So Grudge Match, yeah, they would have had a makeup cover his tattoos, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, let's get into some of the deets, as they say, as they say in the business. We all know, Dom, that Rambo movies are action-packed and they're thrilling. Mm-hmm. But did you know that Stallone had a deeper purpose in mind for Rambo 4? He didn't want the movie just to be another cash grab. He wanted to shine a light on a conflict that was largely ignored by the public mm-hmm. and the media. We're going to get into that conflict in just a second, but I will say this. That's legit. Can you honestly say you knew about the conflict in Burma before Rambo 4?
I did not. I'm not up on the Burma knowledge.
I knew nothing. Now, that's just my ignorance. People who are listening to the show might be like, you guys are idiots. I was totally... I totally knew what was going on at this time. Okay. So I knew nothing about it. I didn't know Burma was a real country, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, right.
So after Sly ruled out the well-known conflicts in the Middle East, Latin America, mm-hmm. and Africa, Stallone turned to international experts at the UN for guidance.
Mm.
So he went to the UN and it was there that he learned about the horrific mass murder of the Karen or Karen people. I might just call it Karen, but I think I might pronounce Karen.
Okay.
So the Karen people by the Burmese junta. So the Burmese junta, this is who they are. The Burmese junta, also known as the State Peace and Development Council, or SPDC, was a military government that ruled Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. So Myanmar, I think, is what it is today, but it's formerly known as Burma. So from 88 to 2011. So the junta was notorious for its human rights abuses, including the suppression of political opposition, censorship of the media, and the use of forced labor. The SPDC, the bad guys, was also responsible for a number of ethnic conflicts and civil wars, including the conflict with the Karen people that inspired the storyline of Rambo 4. The junta was dissolved in 2011 and replaced by a nominally civilian government, although the military still holds significant political power in Myanmar. We should give credit where credit's due for Sly. He ended the Afghan war.
I was just going to say. So he ended that war in Burma, basically. That's what I took away from everything you just told me.
Dude, it's in black and white. He ended the Burma conflict. He ended the Cold War in Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, right? Yeah.
And he ended the Afghan-Russian conflict in 88. I will say, though, the 9/11, I don't know how he's going to end that one.
He helped create ISIS, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. But we won't talk about that. Other than that, he's got a pretty good record.
give him a pass on that one, all right?
I had no idea about 9/11.
I didn't know they were going to do that. Come on, they didn't tell me when I was over there.
Stallone knew that this was the story he wanted to tell, and so he set the movie storyline in the middle of this genocide. It was a bold move, and one that wasn't without its risks. But Stallone was determined to use his platform to raise awareness of this ongoing tragedy. Yeah, we give Sly a lot of grief, or people do, you know, a lot of, because of the way he talks, whatever. But
he's not a stupid guy.
No, and think about, did the Die Hard movies do this? Do the Fast and Furious movies do this? Right. Do the Marvel movies do this? You know,
definitely not.
Like, Stallone is actually very kind of political. He's one of the few old guard movie stars that isn't afraid to be political.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't, like you said, you wouldn't see that in another action movie.
So there you have it, folks. The surprising and inspiring story behind Rambo 4. So as we cover this movie during season 4, folks, remember the deeper meaning behind the action scenes and the impact that Stallone hoped to make through his art. So here's some more behind-the-scenes stuff. I thought it'd be kind of good to go behind the production stuff before we actually start the movie. So this episode, folks, for episode one of John Rambo, we're gonna get into the film, but it's going to be very little film today. There's a lot to talk about before the film got made and trying to be a better podcast. You know, I'm trying to give the folks at home you know, things that they wouldn't get on their own. Mm-hmm. They come to our show, Dom. They come to our show to learn about Rambo.
Exactly.
You know, because I didn't go on the internet and find this knowledge and reword it so I could tell you guys in a fun way. You know, I'm doing that for you guys. Okay. I'm doing the heavy lifting for you. Okay. All right. So did you know, Dom, that the title of the fourth installment in the Rambo franchise had to be changed in many countries? This is because in several countries, including France and Germany, the first movie, First Blood, was actually titled as Rambo. I did not know that.
Oh, the first movie was titled.
Yes.
It was released, I'm guessing, after the success.
Probably because it was called First Blood, I guarantee you.
Okay.
Probably blood in the title, I'm guessing. I didn't find out why, but countries like France and Germany, maybe because of translation things or something. I don't know.
I thought the titles were a mess as they were, so I could imagine everywhere else what they're like.
So people in Germany and France are like, we've already seen Rambo. Why is it coming out again in 2008? We already saw it.
Yeah.
Because of that reason, as I just said, so as a result, the fourth movie had to be called John Rambo in those countries to avoid confusion.
Okay.
So, however, in Russia, I love how Russia got the film. In Russia, the movie was simply called Rambo 4.
Okay, nice.
Here's some more stuff for you. The fourth Rambo movie was the first in the series to break the pattern of greatly increasing the budget from one film to the next. While the predecessor, Rambo 3, had a budget of $63 million, had a budget of $63 million. Rambo 4 had a budget of $50 million.
Okay.
I have a theory why. Why do you think that is? What's your theory?
I think at this time, this was kind of like, this is right after Rocky Balboa. This is kind of like a little comeback for Stallone. So I think he had to probably do it on the cheaper budget. Yeah. I don't think the studio was probably willing to give him.
Yeah, despite the Rocky Balboa success, it was a success. Mm-hmm. It was done on the cheap, right?
Right. Right.
And Rocky Balboa was also directed and written by Sly. So this is really Sly's, like, what, third comeback in his film.
Right.
You know, life. He had to invent himself at the beginning of his career. Now he had to reinvent himself again in his twilight of his career, which I think is amazing that he does that.
I remember that time, I'm sure you do, before, you know, Rocky Balboa, he was borderline straight to video. He was getting some movies that were going in that direction. I think the last thing I saw in the theater before, you know, he had the resurgence with Rocky Balboa was Get Carter, Carter remake.
Yeah. We reviewed it on our last of the Astros podcast network. Myself, Craig, and Doug reviewed Get Carter. Yes. Look for that one. Okay. So in today's dollars, Rambo 3's budget would have been, my apologies. So in today's dollars, Rambo 3's budget would have been around $134 million.
Wow. Already?
Making Rambo 4 a much more financially responsible production.
Hmm.
Originally, Rambo was supposed to be first, then Rocky Balboa.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah.
But MGM wanted Rocky to be made first, so Stallone had to put Rambo on hold.
Hmm.
So Rambo was actually greenlit before Rocky.
I'm surprised he wanted to do that first.
No, the studio did. Oh, you mean...
I'm surprised he wanted to do Rambo first.
Good point, because he would have been even older in Rocky. Balboa. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Maybe because he did less Rambos at that point. You know, maybe he's like, get the Rambo out first, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think it worked out better. I think the studio was right in this sense.
Mm.
Of course, we know that Stallone directed the film, but did you know there's other directors that were considered for the job?
Yeah. Anybody know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
So the decision was given to Sly, again, probably for cost. I guarantee you they're kind of like, or Sly was probably into this, I'll do it for cheaper if you just let me.
Right.
They're probably paid him whatever. Here's $10 million to be director, writer, maybe, star.
Perhaps they even gave him a bigger budget to use for the movie if he was going to direct it rather than paying, like you said.
Here's some of the other directors. Among them were Luc Besson.
What did he direct?
He directed The Professional and La Femme.
Oh, okay. Leon the Professional. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You might have heard of this guy. You heard of this guy? Richard Donner.
Oh, wow. Richard Donner, that would have been.
Yeah, he would have been up in age by then, too. He's passed away since.
Yeah.
Of course, he did the Lethal Weapon franchise and the Goonies. Yes. Check out this director who almost directed somebody who's directed Sly before. James Mangold.
Oh, for Copland, right?
Yeah. And he also directed, of course, Logan and Ford versus Ferrari.
Right.
James Campbell. Yeah, that's right. He's doing the new indie film. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
Stallone decided himself to take the role of director.
Hmm.
We talked about David Morrell in our first three seasons. Of course, David Morrell, the author and creator of the Rambo character, he did not do a novelization of this film. He did one for the first three films, but he did not create a novelization for this film. The screenplay for the film was written by Stallone and a guy named Art Montes. I can't say his name. These Italian names, I swear.
Damn Italians.
Yeah, I know. Montestelli.
Sounds about right. Montestelli.
But Morrell was involved in the early stages of the film's development, but ultimately did not write the novelization for it.
Okay.
If you wanted to know more about that, folks, here's a tease. Check out my very first episode of this podcast where I interviewed David Morrell. But I interviewed David Morrell, the author and creator of Rambo, and he gets into that. Because he talked about how he had a story for the fourth and fifth film that he has in his pocket, but he's not allowed to say.
Yeah,
I try to get it out of him, but... he almost hung up the phone on me, but no. So Art Montarostelli, now he's also a screenwriter who's worked on films such as The Hunted in 2003, Copycat
in 2005,
and Missing in Action 2, The Beginning. So
Chuck Norris, right? Is that Chuck Norris?
Yeah, Chuck Norris was Missing in Action. Yeah, Missing in Action is the Wish.com version of the Rambo series. But I want to hear some of the different premises that the Rambo film almost was.
Yes, I do.
All right, you'll like this. So during its long development process, the movie went through a number of story premises, and one of these unproduced scripts featured Rambo living a quiet life with his wife and child. But the Terminator film took that idea. Which one was it? When he's living with a woman and kid?
Oh, yeah. Not Genesis. It's been rebooted 3,000 times.
Yeah.
What the hell was that last
Dark
one
Fate.
Called?
It was Dark Fate.
Dark Fate, yeah. Yes.
So those guys stole that idea. Here's the story. Like, check this movie out. Okay. So Rambo's living a quiet life with his wife and child until some white supremacists kidnap his family.
I don't like Rambo with a family. It just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right, him being a father.
Give me Rambo singing Rocka My Baby to his kid.
Yeah, Rocka My Baby on the treetop. If you don't go to sleep, I'll smother you with the pillow.
Rambo, that's terrible.
Teach the kid to be a fighter like his dad.
Oh, man.
He would just, like, in the middle of a song, he would just go into one of his, like, he'd have, like, a vision of the war and snap and start screaming. I don't think he's trustworthy.
He throws his baby in a fire like he saw him in the Vietnam conflict. Babies and fires. All right. We have a dark humor there, folks. I apologize. Okay, so another script idea had Rambo working as a diplomat at the UN and trying to stop a hostage situation when terrorists, including his adopted son, take hold of the UN headquarters in New York City.
Doesn't fit, I don't think, the Rambo.
They were really wanting him to have a kid, eh? And they kind of hinted at that a little bit with Rambo 5, but...
Yeah. Yes, that's true. There was a story, I think this was after Rambo 4, but I remember, yet again, being with movie news and reading up on it. I remember at one point, there was like a story leak that they were developing that he was maybe going to like be in a movie with like fighting a monster or something. Do you remember this? I didn't. This wasn't a fever dream I had, right? No, this is a real thing.
Sly bought the rights to a book years ago because I actually read the book. I think it was like early 2000s, late 90s.
Okay.
He bought a book called The Hunter. It was supposed to be a Rambo film. You have all these storylines. That was the one that got the closest to happening. It's called The Hunter. He owns the rights to the book. It's almost like Rambo meets Predator.
Right. And I remember reading that article and being, I was like partly scared, but I was almost with it. I was like, all right, just do it.
Had he done these films younger and maybe had six Rambo films, I think you could get away with a predator-like creature that he would have to fight. I mean, it doesn't have to be alien per se, but something not of this world. Like, where the F did this thing come from?
I don't know if that would have been good for the series to take that jump.
Ted Kotcheff. You know the name Ted Kotcheff?
Sounds familiar.
Well, he directed the first First Blood. He directed First Blood.
Okay. There we go.
Somebody on Facebook said, yes, the Hunter storyline, the creature storyline would have been terrible.
Yeah, would have been awkward.
They made the right choice.
Because I picture like going back and watching like Rambo 3 and then knowing that it leads to him fighting the Predator.
So I read the book like 20 odd years ago and I remember loving the book. And I read
it's probably a cool story. Yeah.
It was a great story. Even when I read the book, it wasn't talked about being a Rambo film necessarily then. I think I just read it as a standalone movie that he was, I think he got very close to doing it, but never happened. Just the story in general. But I think it would have always been compared to the Predator. So maybe best he didn't do that. It would have been Sly's Predator, right? So anyways, Ted Kotcheff, believe it or not, he acted as a technical consultant on this film. Technical consultant on a film is someone who provides specialized knowledge and advice to ensure accuracy in areas such as technology, science, medicine, law enforcement, military operations, or any other field relative to the film's subject matter.
Maybe Sly wanted him to direct it, and at that point he didn't want to direct or something like that. So he
maybe kind
him
of
on.
Like semi-assisted Sly as a director.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah. They help filmmakers create a more realistic and authentic depictions of the subject matter and can also offer creative ideas and solutions to enhance the story. Technical consultants may be experts in their field or have personal experience with the subject matter being portrayed in the film. There you go, that last part there. Let's start watching this film. I remember seeing this in the theater saying, wow, this is fun.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Yeah. Grab your popcorn, folks.
Get ready for the feel-good movie of the summer.
The actions of the hardline military regime are the cause of increasing international concern. The regime crushes all dissent. Ethnic groups are being oppressed in the east of the country, and foreign journalists are rarely...
Tonight that some form of chemical weapon has been used in Burma by military rulers.
Led to the national uprising. Thousands took to the streets and thousands
in Burma,
were killed.
Many
by
peaceful
the Burmese
protesting military. Monks have been killed, some burned alive and others drowned. Foreign journalists have been shot and killed.
As thousands of villages have been destroyed. Rape and torture are a daily occurrence.
In Burma, there are more landmines than anywhere in the
young
world.
Young men are beaten and forced into the army, many as young as 12 years old.
Beheadings and mutilations are commonplace.
The Karen people comprised mostly of poor Christian farmers have been singled out for extermination.
The ruling military government wants the abundant natural resources on Karen land.
The bloody Burmese military campaign against the Karen people has been going on for almost 60 years. The longest running civil war in the world.
This is basically Stallone telling you, like, there's not going to be any Rambo 3 jokes in this. Like, yeah. I'm going to open the movie with this. There's not going to be any well done in this.
It turns blue. Hey, moviegoers, remember that last film, Rambo 3? I did too many jokes. Well, check out this first minute.
The new composer for this film is Brian Tyler. I'm going to reach out to him. It's a long shot. This guy's a big deal now, okay? Mm-hmm. But he did Rambo 4, Rambo Last Blood. Jerry Goldsmith had passed away, so he's no longer around. But he was told to use the themes from the film, which he does, and make it his own. He also did Rambo Last Blood. He does some of my favorite shows on TV right now. He does Yellowstone and the prequels, 1923 or 1923 and 1883.
I got to watch those. Stuff.
Oh, they're so good, man.
I heard they're good. I heard they're good. I got to watch them.
Yeah. So it's Brian Tyler does the score for this film. So shout out to Brian. And like I said, I'd like to reach out to him. Holy shit. There you go. John Rambo. We're watching the extended cut, folks. This says John Rambo. If you saw this in the theatrical version, it would just say Rambo. But we
put my first name in the front.
And it's funny because, like, there's four letters in John, so it's kind of like four Rambo.
You called it Rambo, comma John. You know?
Rambo, comma John, like a dog tag would say.
Of course, you get that. It's a long road. Yeah. But we did have that very brutal kind of opening, but we get this peaceful music and.
Peaceful music as Rambo does something psychotic.
As a first time viewer, you're like, what's he doing? Now he's in Thailand. We should make this clear. He's in Thailand right now, which borders Burma. And he's hunting for snakes. So when I first saw this, I was like, why is he? I thought he was getting snakes out of his garden.
The serious tone, I was watching this earlier, and the serious tone that the beginning sets, like the death and rape and destruction. And then right when I saw Stallone, the hair picking up the snake, I just started laughing. It just brought me back to what I wanted to see in this movie.
That's Sly picking up real snakes. I don't know what kind of snakes those are, because that's Sly. Look at that thing. He's flipping around. That's a real snake. He's whatever he's grabbing, it's real. It's not a prop. But I love how he definitely handles it. Did you see that?
I did. I heard that this was just Stallone was doing this while they weren't filming, and they just put the camera down because they were like, well, this is good stuff. We can't let this go.
So he's catching snakes. Now think about this guy. For a second here, think about what's going on here. Now, of course, we should say it's beautiful, it's pretty, it's peaceful. The music's still playing. He's got these two cohorts with him. What do you call people from Thailand? Is it Thailanders?
I'm not even going to take a swing at that. Yeah, Thailanders sounds that.
Thailanders, that's right. New York Thailanders.
They're a good hockey team, I heard.
I love them.
So they got these snakes in a bag. They go back on Rambo's ferry boat. This sequence is hilarious. So the guys that caught the snakes, we don't know why they caught the snakes, but they've caught these snakes. Now these two, they're acting like kids. They're playing games with these poisonous snakes.
What poisonous snakes? They're putting them right in each other's faces. And I like the way Rambo watches this for a while before intervening. He's kind of going to see if they're going to kill each other.
Okay, come on, guys. Let's put those snakes away. Now he's speaking their native tongue. I just love how smart Rambo is. You put me in Thailand for 10 years, I'll never learn the language. He's like, you know, I've been here for 5 years.
Exactly.
He speaks Vietnamese. He speaks, what is Thailand? Somebody help us out here. Thailand.
What are your feelings on Rambo's wardrobe? The kind of baggy pajama-ish pants he's wearing?
It is odd. Speaking of wardrobe, somebody from Facebook asked, do you think he has lifts in his sandals? I did look.
Knowing Sylvester Stallone, he probably does.
When he was walking on the rocks with the two Thailand dudes, you know, I was actually looking at the sandals to see if they look a little cushioned. And I like how he picks countries where he's taller than the average citizen.
Right. Yes, that's true. That's on purpose. That's definitely on purpose.
It's just science. I'm just saying people from Thailand are rarely 6.5 feet tall, right? So he's...
Are they smaller than Italians?
This is what happened. Sly went to the UN to ask about the conflicts. Yeah, Sly, great. There's a conflict in Africa.
They're really tall there.
You got anybody shorter? Like, you know,
you got any countries that have wars where they're like average 5 feet tall? You know,
Oompa Loompas, real people. They have something going on where they're from.
Imagine Rambo at the Charlie the Chocolate Factory scene. He's freed. They're freeing the Oompa Loompas from Willy Wonka. Now, I remember this shot in the trailer, this shot here. So, of course, he's got the bow and arrow. So this is already tickling at the brains of us Rambo fans. Because think about it, it's been 20 years.
Right, right.
So my question to you is, did Rambo, from the events of Afghanistan, has he been here for 20 years? That's where he started. He was in Thailand when traveling went to go talk to him.
He probably went back then.
He speaks the language after 20 years. That's fair. He's been there 20 years.
And he's still doing his Rambo activities.
That's right. You can take Rambo out of the war. We can take the war out of Rambo.
He's got his own war going on in his head every day of his life. So he's.
I think I see a Russian soldier in the water.
He fishes with explosive warheads.
Yeah, basically.
But I love how he fishes with a bone. Like, come on. Wouldn't it just be easier to put a hook behind the boat?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But I got to keep my skills sharp. You never know when I got to fight those people who border Thailand, you know?
Remember the opening of Rambo 3 and he's fighting the stick fight? He gives his winnings to the monks or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we still see Rambo's doing this. He's giver of the... Doing it. Yeah, he's fishing. He caught a fish, but right away, the people even on his boat, his co-workers, know.
Yes.
Rambo, can we ever eat? No, we're going to give the fish to everybody.
that's the 100th fish he's given this month. He's the lunatic with the heart of gold.
So they give a fish to the kid. So what do you think of his ferry boat?
I think it's a nice ferry boat. I think he's very accustomed to it.
Yeah, you notice the way he holds it? I love the way he's got his arms over the steering mechanism. But the way he kind of like, I don't know, it is kind of funny.
Why did they have to build it so high?
So it's made out of bamboo and what have you. But, you know, this thing is just pride and joy. Oh, he's still got some fish there. Oh, he's still got some fish. So you see that sign there? It says, look, Snake Daily Shows.
Aha, yes.
Yeah. It says Mesa Snake Village Daily Shows. All right, so he grabs snakes for the locals, as we'll see. They perform snake tricks. Like, look how close we can be to getting bitten by a snake.
Sounds entertaining.
So you're visiting Thailand. Let's say you're there with your old lady, right? You're going to Thailand. Is this a stop you're doing as a tourist?
Yeah, I'm going to go here to the famous snake shows, and then I'm going right to Burma.
So Rambo has snakes for the show. That's what we find out. He caught these snakes for the snake show.
How did Rambo get so involved?
He probably attended a snake show. Oh, I really like that. They're like, well, the show is closing.
Why is the show closing?
We've run out of snakes. Nobody's strong or brave enough to provide snakes for the show.
I'm strong. I'm brave.
Okay, I'll get the snakes, you know.
How did he get the job? Yeah. And not only does he get the job, but he gets like berated by the guy. I need more snakes. You'll see that interaction coming up here. So he delivers what he has. And I love, I'm sorry, guys, the captions aren't up on this video. I promise the next video will have the captions up. But the guy who's speaking, he basically keeps saying, it's hard to understand, it's a very strong accent, but he is speaking English. He's basically saying, poison will bite you. Be careful. Like, trying to make like a grand show for the white people in the audience about how dangerous it is for these people to be in the watching the snake show. Of course, directed by Stallone.
King Cobra.
What is the point of this show?
To watch somebody die, Ryan.
We see there's white people in the crowd here with their pictures. They're taking...
Right.
Look, it's a guy hanging out with cobras. Cool.
This doesn't seem fun to me at all.
I wouldn't actually want to watch this. I'm not like a PETA type person per se, but just watching animals and humans bug each other. I don't like bull riding for that reason. Like people,
right. You
know, Spain or whatever, they're running with the bulls. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that kind of interaction with animals.
Yeah, I understand
that. I mean, I'll eat them.
Yeah, well, you don't have to interact with them.
I don't want to interact with them. So they got snakes here at the show, and here's the guy. Hey, come here. Because where have you been? Give me the bag, or give him the bag. Like, he's barking at Rambo.
Rambo, dude, of all people.
I know. This guy can break you with his pinky. And it's like, sorry that I'm late with the snake delivery.
I had to shoot some fish with my arrow.
So he says, we need another python. See what you can do. We have enough cobras, okay? So I guess
I like the way he says we have enough cobras. Reference to Cobra? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. That's why I wrote this film. I don't know. There might be a reference to Cobra. So here, we talked about the humor. Here's a little bit of humor coming up right away. We did mention there's no real humor in this film, but there's a little bit right here.
Why, the first opening montage wasn't humor?
Oh, you hear that? He said, F off, okay?
Fuck off, okay?
That was in the theatrical one? I feel like I didn't remember that line, but I also haven't watched it in a while, so...
I haven't watched it in a while either, and I will not... A better podcast... Look, if you have your own Rambo podcast, you can do a side-by-side comparison of the film in your season 4, but we're not going to do that. We're just doing the ultimate cut. So there's a little bit of a chuckle, like that's the bad boy Rambo, you know.
Right.
So now we're like, okay, maybe we need a little bit of a chuckle after that scarring imagery.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Did we mention there's people that were beheaded?
I have mixed feelings on that. Like what you brought up before about, you know, he was going after a real world problem. I get it. But I like my action movies fake and I like to be disconnected from reality. And I felt like it was a little bit too real. It got too real.
You want to see what chemical warfare does to people? Check this out. Right, like, okay. Exactly. Oh, man.
I don't want to know this is real.
You know what I love watching on my popcorn films? Crying children in war-torn countries.
Heads being put in a grave.
And then bodies without heads.
Bodies without heads. Bodies floating.
People from Burma love this film.
Do they?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Not the TDC people. It's a well-loved film. They actually admire and love that Sly did this. So that's why Sly put that at the beginning of the film. And Sly said in an interview, he said that when he heard that, it was the greatest feeling he's ever had making a film.
Interesting.
Yeah. It did help bring awareness. I think it truly did, because you and I didn't know about the conflict. Now I do. Now we're talking about it now. Right.
Like, right.
It was a conflict that was real, and Sly stopped the conflict from happening. So Rambo's putting the snakes in the bag into the crates. And we have what we think as a viewer might be white tourists coming to watch the snake show. But these are no tourists, my friend. Oh, no tourists. Oh, wait, that was the other film.
You guys have come to get me, huh?
Who did they ask to find? The town maniac? Did they ask?
These groups of individuals, they're missionaries. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to go to Burma, to the war-torn nation, and help the sick, lame, injured with medical supplies and the word of God, essentially. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's their mission, right? They're a pacifist group coming in with a white flag saying, we're here to help. No matter what side you're on, we're here to kind of help the people, right? I get it. It's a good Christian message. I understand. The leader of this group, his name is Michael Burnett. And he's played by an actor named Paul Schultz. He's kind of that actor face you recognize when you see him.
He's from The Sopranos. Plays the priest in The Sopranos. The
guy from New York should know this. Yeah, so he was great. He was the one that kind of pined for Tony's wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right. Did they ever hook up? I can't remember.
No, they never actually hooked up. He slept over. He got drunk and slept over.
Funny enough, he actually starred with Edie Falco on the show Nurse Jackie as well.
Oh, okay.
A show I still need to see.
I heard good things.
I know it's already been off the air for 8 years, but whatever. I like her. Mini crush on her. You know what I mean? Did you have a mini crush on her?
Yeah, of course. Edie Falco is a good actress. I like her a lot.
She's great. Yeah. He was also in 2017's The Punisher. He's done a lot of TV shows. And I remember him specifically from the show 24. He's been around. Again, when you see his face, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. He's asking one of the locals, where's Rambo? You know, Rambo, the big, bulking hulk of a white guy that works around here.
Who's the craziest guy here? Where is he?
Well, we will find out during this conversation. Okay, so just so you know, the river they talk about, I forget the name of it, comes up, but the river, there's a river that borders Thailand and Burma, and they just need to cross the river. So the ferry is designed to get up the river a little bit and cross the river. Mm-hmm. But what I don't understand, it comes up in the conversation, he says he's been there numerous times, but all of a sudden this trip, Rambo's the only mode of
going
travel.
Another route. Yeah, I forgot how the rest of the movie goes with that, but I feel like it's a lie.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen the film, so don't at us. Don't send us emails. Over the-
don't at me.
Yeah, okay. We're doing a John Rambo watch through for the first time to begin with.
Right. Okay,
so. The group's coming over to Rambo. Now, the activity that Rambo's doing, just so you know, he's putting the snakes in a cage, but he ends up feeding the other snakes that he's caught with rats and mice. And I love how he chucks the rats into the cage. Watch him chuck the way he just tosses them in. I guess it's fair. They're going to be snake food very quickly. So. Very, very dangerous, number one in Thailand. I think he says, like, that's a real snake this guy's poking. I don't know what's going on here.
Scary.
Looks like dangerous work.
What does? Hey, in this moment right now, Dom, what's he talking about?
Him just staring at snakes?
Well, he's feeding snakes rats. It's not that dangerous, I guess. But he, like right now, the character of Rambo is just feeding... All this guy has seen of Rambo is feeding snakes. mm-hmm. and putting them little, in a cage.
Little does he know.
I guess it is dangerous in the sense of you could be bit by a snake. Well, there's a guy behind him, you know, playing with a snake in the ring, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm Michael Burnett. Do you have some time to talk?
I know this guy's a good actor, but for some reason, he does a really bad job of delivering. His tone and the way he speaks to Rambo is really odd. Mm-hmm. I would be like, hey, I'm Ryan. Nice to meet you.
Right, right.
Sorry to bother you, big hulking man who...
Yeah, nice like, bandana, nice. Yeah, I like it.
I would be like... Hey, sorry to bother you. Long story short, we're missionaries and we need to cross the river. We are going to dangerous territory, but we were told that you're someone that can get us to dangerous territory. We're happy to pay for the work. We're happy to pay for the travel. But the way he speaks and delivers everything is really...
Yeah, I see that. Definitely a little
he's not
off.
He's not a good salesman to their cause. He's kind of acting like a dick, and I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Right. Yeah. He's coming off a little bit like that.
A little rough.
Won't take long, I promise. I was told it might be possible to rent your boat. We'd like to do that. Is that possible? We need.
He's almost speaking to him like he don't know if he speaks English. I feel like. Do you feel like he's talking to him like that?
No. I think he's got to assume this is an American speaker.
I've been here so long. I look like I'm from Thailand.
This guy thinks I'm one of them. Does that mean I'm short?
He chokes him up river. Against the wall.
Just catch the way this delivery. Okay, let's keep going.
I'm Michael Burnett. Do you have some time to talk? Won't take long, I promise. I was told it might be possible to rent your boat. We'd like to do that. Is that possible? We need to get upriver.
Where are you going?
Into Burma.
Burma's a war zone.
Well, that's what people call it, but it's more like genocide than war.
Do you find the delivery odd?
I never noticed that until you said it. It is a little bit.
I'm talking like this. Hey, like robotic. I know he's a good actor. Remember, he's in Sopranos. He's a good actor. I don't know if he's just dialing it in for the Rambo movie, but dude, they say it's a war zone, but it's all more like genocide.
All right. Maybe Stallone wanted him to say it like that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Possible.
It does seem odd. Or does this actor like hate Sly or something? I don't know.
Maybe.
Tell me I'm crazy, folks, but it just seems like a really odd delivery.
I definitely hear it now that you mentioned it.
Now watch as we go through the dialogue, the scene a little bit more. Rambo looks at the character played by Julie Benz.
And she's immediately terrified and looks away.
I don't get the direction of that as well. Again, Sly's directing this, and his character, Rambo, looks at the girl.
Eye contact with you. I want you to look away immediately in terror.
She does a reaction the same way that Adrian does to Clubber Lang at the statue unveiling. Oh, my. Who is this hulk of a man?
Anyway, this will be my fifth trip in, so we are aware of all the risks.
Right there. Our fifth trip in, and we're aware of all the risks. Okay. But Rambo, for whatever reason, is the only available...
What happened? The other guy died? What happened to the other guy that was bringing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to the other five trips?
Well, he didn't call me the first five times.
Yeah.
I was there for you, but I couldn't get a job parking ferries.
I don't go that far north.
Let me explain our situation. Our church is part of a Pan-Asian ministry located in Colorado. We're all volunteers who, around this time of year...
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect timing.
By the way, Julie Benz is gorgeous.
I like her a lot.
Do you ever watch Dexter?
Yes. I was a big fan of Dexter.
Yeah. I think, did you notice the seasons when she got the breast augmentation? You could tell. I forget which season it was, but it was like you go from whatever.
She went from bigger to smaller?
No, the other way around.
I didn't even notice, to be honest.
I have an eye for those things. I don't know why. Yeah, she's great, Dexter. Spoiler. Put this way, she survives a Rambo film. Side note, Sly started with one of the main villains in Dexter, in Cliffhanger, John Lithgow. There you go.
Oh, yes. The Trinity Killer.
That's right. So Julie Benz played with John Lithgow, and so does Sly. There's a little 6 degrees of Sly.
Yeah, a little connective tissue there.
Rambo looks over at Julie Benz. Now, she apparently is the fiance of Michael. Her name in the film is Sarah Miller. And so her and Michael are, of course, fiancés. She's only a woman. She sees this big hulk and of a man who's like grimy, dirty, and dangerous. She can't help but stare a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And she gets caught staring as Rambo looks back at her. And she's like, oh, woe is me.
Here, bring in medical supplies, medical attention, prayer books, and support for the Karen tribes people. People say, you know the river better than anyone.
They lied.
So what I'm asking is...
Why is he being such a dick about it?
He's really being coming off like a real dick, this guy.
It's odd.
It's a bad way to approach John Rambo.
Is he trying to be like alpha male, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, that could be a vibe. Yeah, that he's coming off like that because he knows that Rambo is like this tough guy, so he wants to give him a little bit of it.
That we compensate you for a few hours of your time that will help change people's lives.
Okay. Slow down, guy. So he's basically, look, man, I'm going to give you money. It's going to take you 3 hours, and it's going to change people's lives. What's your problem, man? Yeah, why aren't you saying yes? Like, this guy, his delivery sucks.
Bringing weapons?
Are you bringing any weapons?
Of course not.
You're not changing anything.
Well,
wow. Now, Rambo gotten a little bit, I mean, he was never like a big ball of happiness, but I feel like in this movie, he's very pessimistic. He hates the world, I feel like, a little bit.
That's actually a good point. He was much more uppity and doing one-liners with the Troutman. Now,
you know,
speaking of Troutman, and also speaking to what you're saying, so between the events of Rambo 3 and, of course, the fourth Rambo film, Troutman, the character, and the actor Richard Crenna, who played Troutman, has died. And according to Sly, he has given the death date of Richard Crenna the same death date of Colonel Troutman. When Crenna died, so did Troutman. So within this film, yes, the character of Troutman in these past 20 years has passed away. So you could almost argue his father figure has passed away. Talking about father figures is at the end of the film that, you know, spoiler, that Rambo goes back to his family's farm to be with his real family. So maybe there's an underlying loss. But you're right, though. Yeah. He is a grumpier Rambo in this one.
Yeah, he just feels a little bit like that. And even in First Blood, he's kind of just quiet rather than grumpy until, like, obviously he gets to his later in the movie.
Oh, you know what he should have said to this Michael guy? Why are you pushing me? That would have been a perfect nod.
Just look at the camera.
Remember that? Remember when I said that?
Remember Brian Dennehy?
Remember Brian Dennehy? He's dead too. Actually, no, he was alive during this time. My apologies.
Oh, he was
Brian
alive.
Dennehy. Yeah, Brian Dennehy. Oh, now you're going to be talking about Rambo Last Blood. Brian Dennehy was alive during that filming. He died shortly after.
Okay.
Because I remember when they announced Last Blood that I wanted Rambo to be really quick. I know I'm geeking out here, folks, but this is a Rambo podcast. I don't want to give everything away, but my fan ending to the fifth Rambo film would have been this. That he does everything he did, that the cops do arrest him. So remember when he's sitting in his rocking chair? I would like all the cops to come. And he peacefully gets arrested, right? He killed people. Like, you can't do that.
Can't get away with that.
No, granted, there were people intruding from Mexico into his property, but he blew them to pieces. You know, he didn't involve law enforcement. He went vigilante.
Yeah, you set up a tunnel of horrors underground and killed a bunch of people. You're not getting away with that.
How fun is Rambo 5 going to be fun to discuss? Anyway, so tell me what you think of this ending, if you thought that would have been cool. He's sitting on his rocking chair, and he's kind of bleeding or whatever, but he's waiting. Cops come. Kind of slow motion. The camera pans out as the cops come to the chair. The cops surround Rambo with the guns drawn, and he's just sitting rocking, right? It goes to black. The next scene is him in jail. You know, he's sitting behind bars, and he's sitting on whatever the stool. And then you hear the words of John, and you look up, and it's Sheriff Teasel as in the jail cell. No, he's retired. He's a civilian.
Right.
And he goes, I heard about the mess you made down here. You know, something like that. And they had some sort of conversation, but they resolved things.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, at the very least, interesting. And Brian Dennehy was still alive. They could have filmed the Teasel Rambo reunion. That would have been a full circle moment. Who would have left the theater thinking, oh, that's stupid? Nobody.
Nah, so Rambo gets caught. That would have been cool.
He actually gets caught. He is a dangerous animal. Rambo should be behind bars. He is dangerous. He should not be out in the public. He blows things up wherever he goes.
Everywhere he goes.
That was my dream ending. I don't know. Let me know in an email or comments.
Please. I would have liked that, I think, too, Ryan. I think it would have been good.
Okay, speaking of which, last thing, I just got over the news wire during this recording that during my research here, apparently Sly wanted to film, speaking of Troutman's death, he wanted to film Rambo visiting Troutman's grave. So maybe I heard about this. Yeah. So when he goes back to America, before he goes home, he goes and visits Troutman's grave. I'm not sure if they filmed it or not after this live recording. And so when this goes out on the YouTube version again and with the edited version, I'm going to see if I can find any audio or video of that deleted scene that was not.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. So, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed, as they say.
Troutman, you know, can't believe you've gone. Really nice. Nice gravestone they gave you. I think it suits you.
think it's really beautiful. And I gotta say, I miss you. I miss you a lot. You know, because you were like a father figure to me. You were the only one who pretty much could call me John. Johnny boy and stuff like that. Anybody calls me John other than you, and like I'll basically break their fucking neck and rip their throat out. But, you know, I miss you. We had a lot of good times together. I'll never forget all the, you know, you training me and showing me how to kill people and all that stuff. That was really great. You know, I'll never forget your, the bloodlust you had, you know, to murder people. And how you like to watch, you know, the light leave their eyes. I really appreciated that. That really taught me something. And, you know, remember the time we, like, remember the time we fought the whole Russian army? We were going to do it by ourselves. You know, the guys on the horses came. You remember that? And, you know, it was great. And then, you know, the thing was, we always had jokes. You know, we were always funny and stuff. And that time that I told you I was well done. Remember that? That was good. You know, you're dead now, but that was good. And I miss you. And I'm thinking about maybe, you know, I was thinking about maybe going to Burma, because it's like a, there's like a job for like a ferry boat, you know, captain. You know, you can bring the people back and forth. I don't know why anybody want to go to Burma, but like, you're gonna go to Burma, I bring them there. You know, you don't even gotta wear a uniform or anything. It's kind of like they said you could wear like a t-shirt, and that could probably wear my bandana, and they'll probably be fine with it, I would assume. I don't know how much it pays, but like, you know, it's either that or I'm just gonna absolutely snap one of these days. So maybe it's good to keep myself busy. You know, it's maybe be appropriate to go work somewhere that's basically a war zone. You know, that's good for what I do, but I do miss you. You know, I think about you every day, Troutman, and all the good times we had. And you know, it gets hard. You know, it gets hard, and you know, kind of reminds me of, you know, the shoe shine. You remember shoe shine? I don't want to talk about the shoe shine again, but you know, Troutman, we had so much money too. That's so much more to do, Charlie. I just miss you, man.
All right. So, well, it's been this is a big episode, I know, but you know what?
Yes.
Hey, I hope people enjoy our first episode of John Rambo, episode one.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a fun season to go through these films. Let us know your comments. Join my Patreon. It helps pay for the StreamYard feed. It's not cheap. What you get for that, too, is after we go live and this live feed is cut to the masses, I will provide this link to the patrons and they get to watch it whenever they want before this gets edited and put on to you. So get an early uncut, all the family instructions, mm-hmm. all that stuff. It's all there for you if you want to watch it. And people do. There are people that watch the full whatever version. So, but with that, Dom, unfortunately, the episode is over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast. You asked me to co-host. I didn't ask you.